Many souls of solitude are quite advanced and don't require restoration in the normal recovery areas. These vigorous souls can be too overconfident. Akam admitted that he only took about 50% of his energy to Morocco and should have charged up more before departing into that life. The next section will address planetary healers who work in physical environments. Since these souls are generally still incarnating, my subjects do not consider them as masters. This would include the transformer souls mentioned in the next case. Planetary work is where our exposure to many specialties begins and is a basic training ground for developing souls. Energy healing on Earth, healers of the human body. When I learned about souls who were specializing in restoring damaged energy in the spirit world, I was curious how these souls might apply their unconscious spiritual knowledge when they were working in physical form. Some place great emphasis on this aspect of their skill development to help human beings. My next case is a woman who works with many energy modalities, including Reiki. However, until our hypnosis session, she had little idea of the source of her spiritual power to heal. Her spiritual name is Peruian, and during our time together she explained how and why energy adjustments are necessary for incarnates as well as discarnates. Case 23, Dr. N, Peruian. I would like to know if your spiritual training in soul restoration is used by you in your earthly assignments. S. Subject evidenced some surprise as this information began to unfold in her mind after my question. Why, yes, I didn't realize how much until now. Only those of us who want to continue working in this way on Earth are called transformers. Dr. N. What is the difference? How would you define a transformer? S. Laughs in recognition. As transformers, we do repair jobs on Earth. We are the cleanup crew, transforming bodies to good health. There are people on Earth who have gray spots of energy which cause them to get stuck. You see it when they make the same mistakes over and over in life. My job is to incarnate, find them and try and remove these blocks so they make better decisions and gain confidence and self-value. We transform them to be more productive people. Dr. N, Peruian. I would like to clarify the differences in spiritual training, if any, between restoring souls in the spirit world and transforming energy on a physical world. S. Long pause. Some parts of our training are the same, but transformers are sent to other worlds between lives to study, those of us who like working with physical forms. Dr. N. Describe the last training you had as a transformer before you came back to Earth. S. Struck by my question, there is a dreamy response. Oh, two light beings came from another dimension to work with the six of us. Peruian's independent study group, they showed us how to keep our vibrational energy into a tight, beamed focus, not scattered. I learned to pinpoint my energy to be more effective. Dr. N. Were these beings from a physical world? S. In a soft tone, more like a gas sphere where their intelligence exists in bubbles, but they were so good. We learned, Dr. N, gently, I'm sure. Let's return to the practical use of what you learned now that you are more aware of the origins of your skills. Tell me how you apply this spiritual knowledge in your energy work today as a transformer soul on Earth. S. A look of wonder, it's the now, in my mind, I see why it works, stops, the focused beam, Dr. N, pressing, the focused beam. S. Earnestly, we use it as a laser, rather like a dentist would drill out a decayed tooth, to pinpoint and clean up gray energy. This is the fast way. It is harder for me to use a slow procedure which is longer lasting and even more effective. Dr. N. Okay, Peruian, remember you are explaining to me how you use your spiritual training and earthly training in combination to heal energy. You have the memory right now of both aspects. Tell me about the slow method. S. Takes a deep breath. One, close my eyes and kind of go into a semi-trance when I cup my hands near my patient's head. I see now tile I have learned in the spirit world helps me more than what I learned in my classes down here. I guess that doesn't matter, really. Dr. N, We receive power to help others from many sources. Please go on about your healing by the slow method with your patients on Earth. S. Well, I work with geometric shapes, such as spirals of energy, forming them in my mind to match the configuration of the particular trouble spot. Then I lay these energy structures around the gray areas. This sets up the areas to be repaired with my slow healing vibrations, like placing a hot pad on a sore muscle. Pause, you see, these souls were damaged on the way in, and this infirmity only grows worse as the body develops on Earth. Dr. N, surprised, back up a minute. What do you mean, damaged on the way in? I thought your work on Earth mostly involved contaminated energy from life's trials? S, that's only part of the problem. When souls enter the human body on Earth, they come into dense matter. Their host bodies, after all, contain primitive animal energy which is thick. The soul has a natural sort of pure, refined energy which does not easily blend with some human hosts. It takes experience to get used to all this. The younger souls especially can be damaged. They get knocked off their tracks early on and are twisted. Dr. N, and you might project different energy configurations with different people who are your patients. S, you, that is the job of the transformer. Their damaged energy lines are so squiggly, they must be rearranged to remove the toxic energy. These muddled souls are so unbalanced that a lot of our work must be directed at all the cells of the body where negative energy is trapping the free flow of the positive. When this is performed properly, the soul is more fully engaged with the human brain. Dr. N, this sounds very worthwhile, indeed. S, it is gratifying, although I still have a lot to learn, laughs. We call ourselves psychic sponges for refined energy. It is not surprising that Case 25 uses Reiki in her work on Earth. Reiki is an ancient art of healing by the hands. After evaluating and working on damaged energy, practitioners of this art close gaps in the human energy field with body alignments to bring symmetry. There are theories that damaged energy, physical or mental, in the human body causes gaps in our auras through which a demonic negative force can enter. This is another of those fear-based myths that receives undeserved attention. I have been told by restoration specialists that this does not happen because there is no outside force of evil trying to take over your body. However, negative energy blockages in our energy field do cause a reduction in functional capacity. I am also disturbed by scientific articles debunking energy work with the hands, such as therapeutic touch, because I have seen the power of this kind of healing with the sick. It is often freely given by certain nurses in hospital settings out of a genuine concern to nurture and heal. Our bodies are composed of an energy field of particles that appears solid but is fluid and acts as a vibrational conductor. One of my transformer souls had this to say about her therapeutic touch methods: the secret to healing is removing my conscious self so as to avoid inhibiting the free flow of energy between us. My objective is to merge with the energy flow of the patient to bring out the highest good in that body. This is done with love as well as technique. If the receiving party is resistant and inhibits the free-flowing passageways of Chi, or life force, through their own mental negativism, they are perfectly capable of blocking the detection of their energy field by a healer. As we begin a new millennium, more people are becoming aware of the healing properties of meditation and guided imagery to build energy within themselves. There are many ways to reach the center of our inner wisdom by tapping into a higher energy source. Massage, yoga, acupuncture and biomagnetic healing are some of the techniques available to help balance our Chi. Body energy and soul energy are adversely affected by vibrational resonances not in harmony with each other. Each person has their own fingerprint of natural rhythm. Body and soul must smoothly coexist for humans to be productive. If we take a holistic approach to body health, our creative self is better able to function with the human brain. Being in harmony with our outer and inner self positions us to more energetically engage in physical, spiritual and environmental interrelationships. healers of the environment. Before my research into the spirit world, I had no idea of the special gifts of environmental healers on our planet. I have learned the Earth itself has its own vibrational rate and there are people capable of tuning into this ecological energy. One of the cases that opened my eyes was a woman who works for the Forest Service in the Pacific Northwest. In her letter requesting a session, she explained, "In the last few years I have felt a tingling, sparking sensation in my hands whenever I am around heavy vegetation. It is not painful, but there is an urgency for something to be released during my work in the forests. Lately, I have dreams about lightning going out of my hands and my wanting to pull it back into a bottle to save it. These dreams seem to fulfill a need inside me and upon awakening I feel happy. Am I going crazy? I am drawn to people who think they are going crazy because of unexplained phenomena in their lives. One know what this feels like personally. Many of my old, traditional colleagues are convinced I have lost my marbles. Therefore, I was glad to take this woman as a client after she agreed to see a physician to make sure there was nothing causing neurological problems with her hands. I will pick up the dialogue of this case at the point where we are discussing her participation in an advanced independent studies group in the spirit world. Case 24, Dr. N. Why did the five of you come together in this study group? S. Because we work with energy the same way. It helps raise our consciousness, our abilities, when we are together. Dr. N. Please explain this to me. S. Well, our situation right now is that individually we cannot sustain an energy flow of sufficient quality to last very long and have the necessary effect. Dr. N. So you accomplish what you wish to do collectively? S. Yes, to some degree. That's why we enjoy working together so we can throw energy out in unison and bottle it up in concentrated reserves. Working alone our energy is not as potent, not as refined, it goes in all directions. Dr. N. Is this why you are having these dreams and feeling these hand sensations right now in your life? S. Reflects. Yes, I see that it is a message for me. I must alter my life to include more energy work. Dr. N. You mean to store and use energy to heal people? S. Quickly responds to my wrong assumption. No, my study group works with energy differently. We are healers of plants, trees and the land. That is why we pick lives as caretakers of the environment. Dr. N. Did you choose your current vocation for a specific reason related to your skills? S. Yes. Dr. N. How about other members of your spirit world study group? S. With a big grin, two of them work with me in the Forest Service. Dr. N. I would think as planetary healers you and your friends have your work cut out for you with all the environmental destruction going on around Earth. S. Sadly, it's terrible and we are so needed here. Dr. N. Tell me, have you and the members of your study group been involved with using energy environmentally in many past lives on Earth? S. Oh, yes, for a long time. Dr. N. Give me an example. S. In my last life I was an Algonquian Indian with the name of Singing Tree. My job was to ensure our land would continue to supply us with food. I used to stand out in the forest for hours and hold out my hands. The tribe thought one was talking to the trees and the soil, but actually I was exchanging energy with the land. It's an extension of mind and body with some help from our guides. Dr. N. And how about today? S. Pause. When you create and support beauty and growth from the land, you also give power to others who live here. From your hands you provide a means by which others are motivated with the beauty of what they see around them, as well as receiving sustenance from the environment. Sometimes I receive letters years later from clients who want to say they finally reached their goals in life. A person with environmental healing talents might write me to announce they have become a landscape architect, opened a garden nursery, or joined a protest group to stop the logging of old redwood trees. I enjoy these aspects of career counseling in my work that begin with the question, why am I here? When I became involved with delving into the mysteries of the spirit world, I thought people would mostly want to know about their spirit guides and soulmates. Instead, I found their primary interest was their purpose in life. Before leaving the subject of our environment on Earth, and the manner in which people are able to tune into the energy vibrations of this planet, I should say a word about sacred sites. A number of researchers have reported on the fact that there are places in the world which give off intense pulses of magnetic energy. In the last chapter, one spoke about vibrational energy layers which vary in density around the Earth. Some sacred sites on Earth are well known to the public, such as the places of stone in Sedona, Arizona, Machu Picchu in Peru, and Ayers Rock in Australia, to name a few. People standing in these places feel a heightened awareness and physical well-being. Planetary magnetic fields do affect our physical and spiritual consciousness, and I find a curious similarity here with descriptions about the spirit world. My clients say the home ground of their cluster group is a space within a space whose non-solid boundaries have a specific vibrational concentration of energy generated by that particular group. Perhaps certain human habitations on Earth, considered to be sacred by the ancients, contain vortexes of energy concentrations caused by what are called natural ley lines. The places where these magnetic grid lines converge are said to enhance unconscious thought and make it easier to open our mental passages into spiritual realms. Knowledge of vortex locations are very useful to planetary healers. In Chapter 8, under the section of Soul Explorers in Other Worlds, I will touch again on planetary vibrational grid patterns which affect intelligent life away from Earth. Soul division and reunification. The capacity for souls to divide their energy essence influences many aspects of soul life. Perhaps soul extension would be a more accurate term than soul division. As I reported in the section under Ghosts, all souls who come to Earth leave a part of their energy behind in the spirit world, even those living parallel lives in more than one body. The percentages of energy souls leave behind may vary, but each particle of light is an exact duplicate of every other self and replicates their whole identity. This phenomenon is analogous to the way light images are split and duplicated in a hologram. Yet there are differences with a hologram. If only a small percentage of a soul's energy is left behind in the spirit world, that particle of self is more dormant because it is less concentrated. However, because this energy remains in a pure, uncontaminated state, it is still potent. When I made the discovery of our energy reserve in the spirit world, so much fell into place for me. The grandeur of this system of soul duality impacts many spiritual aspects of our life. For example, if someone you loved died 30 years ahead of you and has since reincarnated, you can still seconds them again upon your own return to the spirit world. The ability of a soul to unite with itself is a natural process of energy regeneration after physical death. A client emphatically told me, if we were to bring 100% of our energy into one body during an incarnation, we would blow the circuits of the brain. A full charge of all a soul's energy into one human body would totally subjugate the brain to the soul's power. Apparently, this could happen with even the less potent, undeveloped souls. I suppose this factor of soul occupation in a host body was evaluated in the early stages of human evolution by those spiritual grandmasters who chose Earth as a planetary school. Moreover, having all the soul's energy capacity in one body would negate the whole process of growth for the soul on Earth because it would have no challenge coping with the brain. By strengthening a variety of parts of a soul's total energy in different incarnations, the whole is made stronger. Full awareness at 100% would have another adverse effect. If we did not divide our energy, we would experience a higher level of spiritual memory retention in each human body. Amnesia forces us to go into the testing area of the laboratory of Earth without the answers for the tasks we were sent here to accomplish. Amnesia also relieves us of the baggage for past failures so we may use new approaches with more confidence. The ghost in case 15 indicated how it is possible for souls to miscalculate the percentage of energy concentration they bring into a life. One client called this our light quotient. In a strange fashion, one find my level 4 and V subjects shortchange themselves more than the less developed souls. This was demonstrated by the warrior soul in case 22. Typically, a highly advanced soul will bring no more than 25% of its total capacity to Earth, where the average, less confident soul has 5,070%. The energy of a more evolved soul is refined, elastic and vigorous in smaller quantities. This is why the younger soul must bring more energy into their early incarnations. Thus, it is not the volume of energy which gives potency to the soul, but the quality of vibrational power representing a soul's experience and wisdom. How does this information help us understand the combined force of soul and human energy? Every soul has a specific energy field pattern which reflects an immortal blueprint of its character, regardless of the number of divided pasts. When this spiritual ego is combined with a more structured personality of a physical brain, a higher density field is produced. The subtleties of this symbiosis are so intricate I have only scratched the surface. Both blueprints of energy react to each other in an infinite number of ways to become one to the outside world. This is why our physical well-being, senses and emotions are so tied to the spiritual mind. Thought is closely associated with how these energy patterns are shaped and melded together, and each nourishes the other in our bodies. I frequently use the analogy of a hologram to describe soul division. Holographic images are exact duplicates. This analogy is helpful, but it does not tell the whole story. I have mentioned one variable in the process of soul division as involving the potency of energy concentration in each divided part. This element relates to the experience of the soul. Another variable is the density of material energy in each human body and the emotional makeup which drives that body. If the same soul joins two bodies at the same time and brings 40% of its energy into each body, there will be different manifestations of energy. Think of taking a photograph of the same scene in the morning, at noon and in the evening. The changes in light refraction would create a different effect on the film. The energy of souls begins with a specific pattern, but once on Earth these patterns are changed by local conditions. When we review our future life from the spirit world, we are given advice about the energy requirements of the body we will occupy. The decision of how much energy we should take is ours. Many souls want to leave as much behind as possible because they love their home and the activities going on there. Emotional and physical trauma drains our energy reserves. We can lose shards of positive energy to people whom we give it to voluntarily, or by others who drain it out of us with their negativity. It takes energy to erect and maintain defense mechanisms to protect ourselves. A subject once said to me, "When I share my light with those I think worthy of receiving it, I can recharge it faster because it was given freely." One of the best ways we revitalize our energy is through sleep. Once again, we can further divide the energy we brought with us and roam freely while leaving a small percentage behind to alert a larger portion to return quickly if needed. As one mentioned earlier, this capacity is especially useful when the body is in a state of illness, unconsciousness, or in a coma. Since time is not a limiting factor for a freed soul, hours, days, or weeks away from the body are all rejuvenating. I might add that souls can also be recharged by loving spirits during a crisis. We interpret these energy boosts as profound revelations. A few hours rest from the human body can do wonders for a soul, as long as the remaining portion left behind is on cruise control and not coping with a complex dream analysis. That circumstance may cause us to wake up exhausted. Since living parallel lives is another option for soul division, what are the motivations and effects from this decision? Many people feel it is common for souls to live parallel lives. One have found this not to be true at all. The souls who choose to split into two or more bodies within the same general time frame on Earth want to accelerate their learning. Thus, a soul might leave up to 10% of its energy behind and place the rest in two or three bodies. Because we have free will, our guides will allow for these experiments, but they advise against it. On the whole, since the energy drain is enormous, most souls who try parallel lives do so only a time or two before giving it up. Souls don't wish to lead parallel lives unless they are extraordinarily ambitious. Also, Souls don't split their energy to incarnate as twins. Dividing your energy to be in a family with the same genetics, parental influence, environment, nationality and so forth would be counterproductive. Such lack of diversity would provide little motivation for living a parallel life. People are curious about the origins of two souls in the bodies of identical twins. I had two sisters in their late 20s as clients, born 1 minute apart. The souls of these women are intimately connected in the same spirit group, however they are not strictly primary soulmates. Each has met and lives with their own male soulmate with whom they are deeply in love. These two souls have lived for thousands of years as close friends, siblings, parents and children of one another but not as mates. They have never been twins before and the reason for their doing so currently was twofold. They had unresolved trust issues in their past life relationship, but they said the major reason was together, our combined energy field is doubled, which makes us more effective in reaching other minds. People ask me if a soul did not bring enough energy into its body during the fetal state, can it retrieve more later in life? I find that once the energy formula of a given percentage is chosen in advance by a soul, it stays. To permanently add more fresh energy from the spirit world during a life would likely disrupt the delicate balance initially established between the soul and a new human brain. Also, it seems improbable that an incarnated being could retrieve an ethereal substance from its discarnated self. However, with the help of their guides, some people have the ability to communicate, or temporarily tap into, their own energy reserve during a crisis. The process of souls reuniting with the rest of their energy becomes most evident for me when I regress my subjects through a former death experience. Unless there are complications from the last life, most souls reacquire the balance of their energy at one of the three primary spiritual stations, near the gateway, during orientation, or after returning to their soul group. The advanced souls usually disembark only at the final stop on their journey home. The three stations, receiving our own energy at the gateway is not really a common occurrence. This is probably due to the initiation of recovery by a shower of healing near the gate. I do hear about it once in a while though, as with the soul in my next quote whose deceased husband brought a small remaining portion of her energy to the first stop. She explained the circumstances this way, my love could easily handle the little energy once saved. He brought this to me and spread it over me gently with his hands like a blanket as we were embracing. He knew how old and tired I was and he asked to come. Once contact is made, the rest of my energy comes into me as a magnet. I feel so expanded by it. The first thing one notices that I can read his mind so much better telepathically and I sense so much more of what is around me. When our guides conclude that it would be an advantage to have more of our energy at the second station during orientation, this decision has different ramifications. Basically, the decision rests on the belief that our debriefing from a difficult life will be more productive. Then, too, we might not be returning to our spirit group for some reason right after orientation. Here is an example of soul reunification at this stop, 1 a.m. in a plain room which looks futuristic with smooth, milk-white walls. There is a table and two chairs. This furniture has no edges. My guide, Evrand, is concerned over my lack of responsiveness. She is about to perform what we call melting the physical form. She holds the rest of my energy in a beautiful, translucent vessel which radiates. Evrand comes forward, pressing it into my hands. I feel the upsurge of my energy as an electrical charge. Then she moves close to me, stimulating my natural vibrational frequency to accept more easily what one left behind. As my core center is filled with my own essence, the outer shell of my physical body imprint is melted off. It is as if I were a dog shaking off water droplets from my fur after getting wet. The unwanted earthly particles are jarred loose, dissolved, and my energy now begins to sparkle, again instead of being a dull light. The usual way most souls reunite with the balance of their energy is after returning to a cluster group. A subject put it this way. It is smoother for me to reunite with myself after I arrive at home base with my friends. Here the infusion of my rested energy can be assimilated at my own pace. When I am ready, I go get it myself.